step into the dynamic world of the Joe Kelly Show podcast, streaming straight from the state-of-the-art radio studios of WDBO in sunny Orlando, Florida. You're just seconds away from immersing yourself in Joe's unparalleled perspective on the most pressing current events, the latest news, and everything in between.
And I'm not going to lie, I'm a little frustrated today, not just because it's a Monday, but I've had tech issues all day. I've had all kinds of technical problems today. And Laurel, it started from literally the moment I woke up.
Goodness gracious.
I woke up and I had a text message from my bank. And the text read, "Hello, Joe, it's your bank." And then it has my bank name there. It didn't just say it's your bank. And it said, "Did you try to spend $110 at Sam's membership with card ending in these four numbers? Text 1 if yes, 2 if no." And then, so I seem to recall that my Sam's Club membership was going to be was going to be due soon, and I pulled up, you know, my Sam's Club membership, and it says that my membership doesn't expire until May 28th, and today's only May 8th, so I've still got 20 days. So I think that might have been a fraudulent charge on my account to try to renew my Sam's Club membership early, right? And then, just a moment ago, I got an email from Sam's Club saying that the auto renew didn't go through because my credit card said it was fraud. So I thought it was fraud. I'm still not sure it's not fraud.
Oh, goodness.
But I thought it was fraud from the text messages I got earlier. So it says, you know, text 1 if yes or 2 if no, if you tried to spend this money. So I typed in 2. I didn't try to spend that money. So instantly, my bank cancels my debit card. They just cancel the card. And so now I've got no functioning debit card, and I almost never carry cash. And then, of course, that means I can't even use my phone for purchases because my phone is tied to my debit card.
Adulting is hard.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. It is so hard, and I'm so frustrated. So now, then, as I'm coming to work, I'm like, well, I got to go to Wawa to get a sandwich. And as I went into Wawa, I had already forgotten that my debit card didn't work. I mean, from the drive from my apartment to the Wawa, I had already forgotten the day's lesson. And I'm like, damn it! So I had to put it on my Visa card. I had to put a sandwich on a Visa card, which I just despise doing because I didn't have any cash to spend cash on it. And then I get a notification from our employers today, Laurel.
Yes.
That I am apparently I've now been put in phishing jail.
What did you do?
So phishing, P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G, not phishing, F-I-S-H-I-N-G. Phishing, of course, is the tactic when someone tries to send you an email that has a link in it that has, you know, poison attached to it, or some sort of virus or something like that, or some sort of, you know, software program that'll infiltrate your system and steal everything or lock everything up or whatever. Well, last week I got an email from our immediate supervisor, Keith. And it was like a spreadsheet. And it was like, here, Joe, I need you to look over this spreadsheet. And it's from Keith. It's got Keith's email. And I didn't think twice about it. So I clicked on it. I should have known that it was a spreadsheet. And there's no way it would come from Keith because I don't think Keith knows how to use spreadsheets. So, well, and for that matter, neither do I. I have never used a spreadsheet in my life. And I hate when people email me spreadsheets. I'm like, I don't know how to read this. So I clicked on the link that I thought was from Keith. Come to find out, it wasn't from Keith, and it was. And I'm curious if anybody's companies do this. Does anybody's employer test you? Is it just us? But our employers send us test emails to test us to see if we're going to click on it or not. And if you don't click on it and you report it as a phishing email, a phishing email, then you get a congratulations, a little pop-up congratulations. But if you do click on the link and you don't report it as phishing, which is what I did, you get an immediate prompt saying, no, bonehead, that's not right. that was a phishing test and you failed. And I didn't realize that if you fail the phishing test, you have to take a class. So now I got this email from work and it says, "Dear Joe, it's work here." It doesn't actually say it's work here. "Dear Joe, it's work here. You have been assigned the following training item, the 2022 Social Engineering Red Flags." First of all, it's off by a year already. I don't know if they know that. But Social Engineering Red Flags. "Protecting you from cyber threats is everybody's business. With cyber threats, including phishing, continue to rise. Yada, 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 blah, 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 blah." So the next step for the manager is to have a verbal conversation with me, which my boss did. He walked past me and said, "What did you click?" And I said, "I have no idea what you're talking about." He goes, "You clicked something in the email and it was spam." And I'm like, "Oh, yeah, I did that last week." And I said, "Why are you telling me this now?" He says, "Because we have a new email about it." I'm like, "Well, I'm not clicking on that email, that's for sure." I'm going to report. So it's got a link in it. It's got a link to launch the training so I don't make those mistakes again. I'm going to report the whole email as a phishing email.
That'll go well.
I'm not clicking on that link because I don't want to get reported for this. Let me see. We read some of the comments here. "I used to test my users. I'm too busy for that." Someone says, "Yeah, we get those at work all the time." Yeah. And I have never failed a phishing test before. This is my first time ever.
You know what I do, honestly? If I'm not sure, I ignore it. And I'm like, if it's important, they'll send me a second email.
Yeah.
There's like something that's due, you know, if you do our yearly goals. I'm like, they'll remind me if it's actually not phishing. So
I'm going to absolutely follow your direction on this, Laurel. I'm going to stop clicking on everything from now on. And this comes on the same day that I botched my Sam's Club membership and my bank card. So now everything that I have auto paid from that bank card is going to have to be re-inputted. I'm going to have to re-input. I'm going to have to remember all my passwords for all of the different accounts that are on auto pay from that card. And I'm going to, so this has been a technologically headachy day for me today. So that's where I am. Hi, did you guys have a good weekend? Did you have, Laurel, anything special the weekend? Did you have fun?
I went to Universal for the first time in like forever.
And how was that?
It was great. I rode Hagrid's finally, and that was super duper duper cool. And it was great, but it was hot, so, you know, I was tired. I fell asleep very quickly.
I went to see Guardians of the Galaxy 3 with my sons.
So, over the weekend, I saw they're like, animal lovers beware, Guardians of the Galaxy 3 is super traumatizing.
I saw an article about PETA today relating to Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay, and were you traumatized?
No.
I said that to my husband, and he's like, "They're CGI." I'm like, "I know, but..."
Yeah. So no, I was not. I'm not easily traumatized. And B, honestly, the movie just had me so bored that I couldn't,
really?
I couldn't get into it. And I got to tell you, and Laurel, you know this, I've been the biggest Marvel fan since the original Iron Man came out and all the way through Endgame. And aside from a couple of the Spider-Man flicks, every Marvel movie since then, in my opinion, has been terrible. And Guardians of the Galaxy 3 was similarly just terrible. Or I'm outgrowing the genre. I'm not sure which. Because I remember when I was a kid and I wanted to go see movies all the time, and my parents never went to movies. And I'm like, is it just that old people don't like movies? Is that what it is? And then I'm thinking, have I hit that category where I just don't like movies? And I don't think that's the case because I love cinema. I mean, I studied it in college. I am a cinema fanatic. I love film. I love old films. I love not so old films. I love brand new films, but there's just so much crap, so many bad, bad films these days that I just can't stomach it. And then, of course, as soon as the film ends and we sit through the two post-credit scenes, yes, there are two post-credit scenes, but after I sit through it, one of my teenagers says, "Oh my gosh, that was so great. That was such a great movie." And then I don't want to rain on the parade and say, "Oh, really? I hated it." So I hope my kids aren't listening right now because I told them I really enjoyed it as well. They don't listen. I'm not even sure they know I'm on the radio, to be honest with you. So, I don't think they know.
I heard it was like darker and didn't have all the catchy just for laugh jokes.
I did not laugh one time for the entire movie.
Wow.
And the animal stuff is all about Rocket, how Rocket was made. These were flashback scenes about how Rocket the raccoon was made. And it was sad. I mean, it was kind of sad because while we don't like adult raccoons, baby raccoons are adorable, right? Can we all agree that baby raccoons are adorable? And Rocket the raccoon was a baby raccoon first when his torturing got started, when they started doing experiments on animals. And then there's I don't think these are real big spoilers. I don't think these are spoilers because they're in every newspaper article and stuff. But whoever's doing the experimentation on Rocket the raccoon is also doing experiments on other animals as well. And so there's like a walrus. There's an otter that has like artificial arms. There's a walrus in a wheelchair. And there's all these other animals. They all talk, by the way, which is, you know, kind of cool. I don't know what kind of experimentation they did to get animals to talk, but they all talk. But otherwise, if I had never seen that movie, it would not have bothered me in any way. And if I never see another Marvel movie again for the rest of my life, I won't know, because I hope they get better, because this was terrible. What's the next Marvel movie? Do you know? I feel like it should be a Spider-Man movie.
No, isn't there another Ant-Man coming out or something?
We just had one.
Okay, I don't know. I've fallen off. Yeah. I've honestly fallen off.
And honestly, the last Ant-Man in Quantumania really wasn't worth seeing. And now the guy that played Kang the Destroyer or whatever he is, that actor, Jonathan Majors, may not get to play Kang or any other character ever again if he's in jail, because he kind of got Me Too'd. He may or may not be a bad guy, but he was Hollywood's biggest up and coming actor. He was suddenly in everything. This guy, Jonathan Majors, he was in that last boxing movie, with the guy from The Thing, not Sylvester Stallone, but the guy that Stallone fought, Creed. So he was in the last Creed movie as the opponent against the young Creed, the not Apollo, but Cassius or whatever his name is. I don't know what his name is. But he was a real big up-and-coming actor, and now he's accused of rape and assault and stuff, and now they're not going to be able to cast him in anything. He had the fastest rise and fall in Hollywood in recent years, that's for sure. Coming up in a few minutes, Governor DeSantis, I thought, made a brilliant comment over the weekend when he was asked about a new law here in Florida that will not allow doctors to perform sex change surgeries. And the way DeSantis puts that in a completely different light, I thought was absolutely brilliant the way that he did that. And we'll get into that coming up in a few minutes as well. Plus, there was an armed robbery at a nursery. Not a nursing home and not a nursery where children are, but a nursery where they have plants. There was an armed robbery at a nursery in Winter Garden Saturday early in the morning, so late Friday night, early Saturday morning. And I've been reading all of these stories about this armed robbery at a nursery, and there's just one thing that just doesn't add up when it comes to an armed robbery at a nursery, and I will break that down for you coming up next. Stay right where you are. Hey, don't forget your next chance to win. That $1,000 in the WDBO payroll payout is going to be coming up tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. on Orlando's Morning News with Scott Inez. Make sure you're tuning in for that. Let's see. We got to say happy birthday to Amelia. She is 6 today. Happy birthday, Amelia. I hope she's listening to the radio right now. We think she's kind of cool, so happy birthday to her. Okay, so this is interesting. There was an armed robbery at a nursery in Winter Garden over the weekend. It was late Friday night, early Saturday morning. And reading here out of the Orlando Sentinel, it reads in part, three armed and masked men entered a nursery and injured two security officers before fleeing early Saturday. Officers were called to the nursery on Avalon Road at 3:40 a.m. Saturday after a security officer who was completing his rounds on the property was approached by three masked men in blue hoodies. One of the three masked men pointed a gun at the security officer. When the officer attempted to pull out his own gun, he was beaten with the gun and thrown to the ground. The security officer was taken to a nearby hospital with lacerations to the ear. And then it goes on. The other security officer also had one of the masked men point a gun at him. As he pulled out his own gun, the armed man ran away. And the article goes on and on and on, and it concludes, the investigation is ongoing. Cops ask anybody with information to call Crimeline. On Sunday afternoon, they did arrest. They've arrested two suspects, apparently, at this point. Neither are being cooperative, which is, you know, par for the course, niches and stitches or something like that. What is really interesting about this is you have to ask yourself, why would three armed men put on masks and try to rob a nursery of houseplants at 3 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday morning? They could have been sleeping in or out partying, but instead they donned masks and brought handguns and tried to rob a nursery. And why does a nursery have armed guards in the middle of the night? And why does the article not mention that the nursery they were trying to rob grows marijuana? It's a marijuana nursery. It's not just a regular house plants nursery. This is not where you go to get your ficus trees. It's not where you go to get your, man, if I could only name a house plant. Laurel, quick, name a house plant.
Roses or
people
gardenias.
Don't grow roses in the house.
Snake plant.
A snake plant?
Mother-in-law's tongue. It's the same thing.
Ah, okay. But yeah, so never do they point out. In fact, I saw about four or five news articles on this today. And out of four or five news articles, only two of them mentioned that it was a cannabis farm. And I always wondered, every time I drive by Knox Nursery in Winter Garden on Avalon Road, I drive by it not too often these days. I don't live in Winter Garden anymore. But when I did, I mean, I used to drive by there pretty regularly. And you can smell it. I mean, you can smell the weed. The homeowners that live there have been complaining about the noxious smell of weed ever since they started growing it there at Knox Nursery. And I don't know if these news outlets are just covering for the fact that the place is a marijuana farm, if that's like a secret. They don't want it getting out, because all the signs on the outside simply say Knox Nursery. They don't say Knox Nursery Marijuana Farm. They don't say that. But that's what it is. It's a marijuana farm right there on Avalon Road inside those greenhouses. And that is what those armed men were trying to steal early Saturday morning when they got encountered by the armed guards and took off running, two of the three, have been caught. 844-580-WDBO. You can use the open mic and the WDBO app. Just sharing some news items with you here this half hour. Coming up, Governor DeSantis really makes it much better and easier to understand this bill that could potentially jail doctors if they perform sex change operations on minors. We'll have that language for you. Coming up next, stay with us on WDBO.
Maybe that's why they call it Knox Nursery, because it's noxious.
Huh.
All right, I'll see myself out.
Probably a good idea. Thank you for that open mic. You can leave an open mic. Just open up the WDBO app and look for the open mic button. Tap that, push the open mic button. And then just start talking. Pretty simple stuff. You can call 844-580-WDBO. So Governor Ron DeSantis was at a news conference, and you can just barely understand the question that's being asked of him. And clearly DeSantis wasn't having it anyway, because DeSantis cuts him off mid-question and starts to answer the question. But the question has to do with a new bill. Florida has passed a new bill that makes it illegal to give children hormone and puberty-blocking or puberty-disrupting drugs. Parents who push gender transition procedures on children could lose custody of their children. Doctors and parents in Florida who push harmful drugs or surgeries on children may soon find themselves in trouble with the state. Governor DeSantis over the weekend.
Cultural issues that you've identified here. Do you think American voters want...
How many of these people were paid to come? I mean, like, honestly, it's like, seriously, some of this stuff is just totally manufactured. And when you talk to people And I know, like, people in your industry will dress it up with a euphemism, and they'll say it's healthcare to cut off the private parts of a 14 or 15-year-old. That is not healthcare. That is mutilation. And so when we're standing up against that... And so when we're standing up against that, we're protecting these kids. We had Chloe Cole. We've had other people who went through this when they were minors. Now they're older. And it's like the biggest regret of their life. They feel like that they were manipulated. I understand there's some physicians that are very ideological about it. But the fact is, people go through a lot when they're teenagers. You grow out of it most of the time in these situations. 80, 90% resolves by the time you get there. Sweden, these European countries that went down this road have done a big U-turn. They said this is not good medical practice, and so they don't do it anymore. So all we're doing is doing what's right. The idea that this would have been something that people would have been, it would have even been controversial, even like 10 years ago, would not have been something that anybody would have said anything about. And I just think, you know, when you're talking about this stuff, talk about what did the legislature do? The legislature prohibited doing things like double mastectomies. They prohibited doing things, you know, with male private parts that are very graphic.
And I think one of the best ways that Governor DeSantis referred to this is that Florida has passed a bill outlawing doctors from cutting off healthy body parts of children. And I thought, man, that is a really good way of putting that, cutting off healthy body parts of children. Though, and I read through all of the notes on this, and I didn't see any kind of exceptions here. But circumcision is still pretty common in the United States. And one could argue that circumcision is the removing of a healthy body part from children. One could argue that circumcision is genital mutilation. So I wonder to what extent, if any extent, this is going to have an effect on circumcisions. Now, as I don't know, society would have it, fate would have it, circumcisions, which used to be pretty normal in the United States, are now not normal in the United States. In fact, evidently, circumcisions are the minority now. It's not the majority of boys who get a circumcision. It is a minority of infants and newborns that get a circumcision. But what do you think about the Florida State Legislature and the governor passing a bill that outlaws doctors from cutting off healthy body parts of children? I mean, when you phrase it that way, it just sounds so logical. It seems to make so much sense. Why would you cut off a healthy body part? 844-580-WDBO. It's 844-580-9326. You can use the open mic and the WDBO app. Doctors and parents in Florida who push harmful drugs or surgeries on children may find themselves in trouble with the state. This out of the Florida Standard. The Republican-led Florida legislature passes a bill Thursday that prohibits physicians from administering puberty and hormone-distributing drugs or performing sex reassignment surgeries on anybody under the age of 18. Doctors who violate the law would be subject to third-degree felony and could face up to 5 years in prison. You know, I doubt that there are many doctors who would jeopardize their careers and their livelihoods and their education to perform this kind of a surgery. I doubt many doctors are going to take a principled line and say, you know what, I'll do it. I'll do 5 years in prison for this kind of surgery. There might be a couple doctors out there that put their version of principle ahead of this state law. But I would imagine most would fully reject that lest they jeopardize everything in their life that they've worked hard for. Additionally, taxpayer dollars from the state would no longer be allowed to fund sex reassignment surgeries. Well, that's good. That means you're not paying for sex reassignment surgeries. The governor's expected to sign this bill into law. That's not going to be a surprise. According to Ralph Masullo, Republican from Marion County, this is preventing abuse medically and abuse surgically. We don't have the freedom to harm children. One of the co-sponsors of the bill said those people who think that they were born in the wrong body are victims of those who are evil, who prey on them and prey on a mental condition to make money. This is not science, he says. This is a cult that is focused on the abuse of children. So what do you think? 844-580-WDBO. It's 844-580-9326. Or use the open mic in the WDBO app. Coming up here in just a few minutes. Okay, let's start with this. Do you remember the whole deal with Subway sandwiches and the tuna, the fake tuna? So it all stemmed from one woman in California who claims that she has eaten the tuna sandwich or tuna products at Subway hundreds of times before she filed a lawsuit in January 2021. She claims in her lawsuit that there is no tuna in the tuna sandwich at Subway. Now, Subway, for their part, has vehemently pushed back, saying, of course there's tuna in our tuna sandwiches. And they are pretty angry at this woman. Well, this woman has suddenly decided to drop her lawsuit because she says she is pregnant. What does her being pregnant have to do with this lawsuit? Well, she says her severe morning sickness and debilitating conditions as she prepares for a third child have left her unable to proceed with the obligations as plaintiff and require her to focus on her health and family. But Subway says, not so fast, lady, not so fast. They don't want her to just walk away from this thing because they've caused Subway a lot of damage. So the mom wants to dismiss the case in San Francisco federal court without prejudice, which would let her sue again when she feels better. Subway, though, says that the mom's excuse flunks the straight face test, and her lawyers likely realized that it would not simply, or her lawyers rather, realized they would not simply pay the windfall settlement that they had hoped to get by constructing a high-profile shakedown. She says that the media frenzy that the lawsuit triggered caused severe harm, and they fault this mom's ever-changing theories to debunk its claim that its tuna sandwiches, salads, and wraps contain 100% tuna. So the chain Subway wants the proposed class action dismissed and her seven lawyers ordered to pay at least $618,000 of their legal bills. As anybody who even slightly knows me will tell you, I absolutely love the tuna sandwiches at Subway. I could, I have, and I certainly will again eat Subway tuna sandwiches every single day. Every day I have eaten Subway tuna sandwiches. I'm currently not in that pattern. I'm in a different pattern right now. I'm currently eating Wawa roast beef sandwiches, but I could easily go back to my Subway tuna sandwiches. And even when they came out and said it wasn't made of tuna, I'm like, well, I'll be the judge of that. It tastes like tuna. I have no idea. Subway says it's 100% tuna. Others have said that it's not, that it's got other meats in there and stuff as well. Tuna for their Subway for their part claims that it's the cooking of the tuna that makes it render its DNA differently. So when you test it for the DNA for tuna, you're not going to find tuna DNA because it's been cooked before it was put in there. I don't know if that is actually a true thing or not a true thing. On Reddit, people are upset at self-checkout stands that now have a tipping option. If you go through a self-checkout, whether it's at Target or Publix or anywhere, if you go through a self-checkout and it asks you for a tip, are you going to tip? Because wouldn't that tip be going to you if you're the one doing the checkout? It seems like our tipping situation has gotten a bit out of hand, especially since the pandemic. Everybody seems to be hitting us up for tips these days. And I know that in the days right in the thick of the pandemic, whenever I was tipping double, triple, quadruple. I mean, I was tipping a lot because I knew how lousy those frontline workers were, the working conditions were for them, working in restaurants and stuff like that. So I always tipped particularly high in those situations. But now that the pandemic has officially passed, the World Health Organization says it's gone. The Biden administration says it's gone. The crisis, the emergency is over. I think we could go back to regular tipping these days. 844-580-WDBO or use the open mic and the WDBO app. All right, I'm digging this. We got a lot of different topics going right now. We're talking about tuna. We're talking about genital mutilation. We're talking about tipping at self-checkout. We're talking about circumcision. We're talking about evidently the writer's strike. We've even got an open mic about the writer's strike here tonight.
Hey, Joe, this writer's strike, it really amazes me that these entertainers cannot ad-lib and come up with anything creative to say. You know what they should do? Try doing a talk show for about 2 hours. Thank you, Joe. You're doing a great job.
Yeah, we don't have writers on our show. Though I will say a couple things about that. One would think that since all of the late night comics started as stand-up comics, you would think that they could write a brief monologue for themselves and then conduct the rest of the show interviewing their guests and all that kind of stuff. And perhaps there is. Maybe there is a late-night comic or two that could do that. But the late-night comics also have relationships with their writers. And for a lot of these late-night comics, they get paid buku bucks. I mean, they get paid tens of millions of dollars a year, whereas their writers don't. They probably make 70, 80, maybe 90 grand a year. So for a lot of the late-night talk show hosts, and I don't know which ones, you know, could write their own monologue and which ones just simply couldn't, but for a lot of them are canceling their own shows in solidarity for the writers because they belong to similar or the same unions, and they're doing it just as a show of support for their fellow writers. So I'm cutting them a little bit of slack just with that in mind. We'll continue coming up next. Stay with us. Man, if you want to hear something that is embarrassing, so Friday, we told you Friday that Joe Biden had an interview. For the first time in 3 months, he had a media interview. It was with MSNBC, and it was set to air at 10 p.m. on a Friday night on Cinco de Mayo. Buried where nobody would see it, nobody would talk about it, nobody would care about it because everybody was out Friday night. Nobody was home at 10 o'clock watching Joe Biden's interview on MSNBC. The total interview was less than 12 minutes long. And he was interviewed by Stephanie Ruhle. I thought it was Ruhle, but I heard her say her name. It was Ruhle, and it was terrible. I mean, there was nothing to be learned there. There were no difficult questions. Joe Biden lied, even if something resembled a real question. This was my takeaway, though. From the interview with Joe Biden on MSNBC. And by the way, Biden kept telling everybody he had a major news conference that he was going to do Friday night. It wasn't a news conference. It was literally a sit-down interview with the friendliest network he could possibly find, MSNBC. And this was one of the questions asked.
Sir, there is something personal that's affecting you. Your son, while there's no ties to you, could be charged by your Department of Justice. How will that impact your presidency?
First of all, my son's done nothing wrong. I trust him. I have faith in him. And it impacts my presidency by making me feel proud of him.
Do you think anybody has told Joe Biden about Hunter Biden's laptop? Do you think anybody has told Joe Biden about Burisma and all of the contacts that Hunter Biden has had? I don't fault Joe Biden for wanting to defend his son. But to say my son's done nothing wrong and I trust him speaks very poorly of Joe Biden. Now, if Joe Biden would have said, look, Stephanie, I love my son so very much. And my son, comma, like me and like everybody, we're all imperfect beings. And have we made mistakes? Perhaps. But at this point, that's all I have to say about it. That and I absolutely love my son, Hunter. Should have left it at that. We could all appreciate a father saying, you know what, I really, really love my son. But to say that he's done nothing wrong is ludicrous. I mean, even if you just look at the pictures on the laptop with the hookers and the cocaine, clearly he's done something wrong. I don't know how you can say he's done nothing wrong. So then ABC News goes apoplectic because they can't get over how bad the polling data is for Joe Biden.
Political Director Rick Klein here to break it down. And Rick, this poll is just brutal for President Biden.
Absolutely, George. And you talked earlier about that record low approval rating for President Biden. It's actually 6 points down just since February. And the skepticism over his leadership extends deep inside his own party. Only 36% of Democrats think that their party should nominate Joe Biden for a second term. 58% say they would support someone else or prefer someone else. That's despite the fact that the entire DNC, most of the Democratic establishment, has rallied behind President Biden. And you're seeing real weaknesses in the coalition that powered Joe Biden to the presidency back in 2020. Biden carried independents by 13 points against Donald Trump. He is now trailing Trump by 9 points among those same voters. He carried black voters by 75 points in 2020. Now he is up just 35. That may sound like a lot, but the fact of the matter is, in modern politics, that is not the kind of number that a Democrat needs to be victorious. And then, of course, that does spill over into the head-to-head matchup, the hypothetical rematch, Trump versus Biden. Right now, a 7-point edge in our poll from in Trump leading Biden. And in fact, it's an identical number with Ron DeSantis in a head-to-head that might happen next November. That tells us at this very early stage, George, that this race is shaping up a lot more about the incumbent president, Joe Biden, than it is about any of his challengers.
And Rick, as I mentioned with Senator Langford, President Trump, at least right now, appears to be strengthening his hold on his frontrunner status for the Republican nomination.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We've seen Donald Trump's numbers go up in the last couple of months across a range of polls, and most of the other candidates either going down or staying around the same. Ron DeSantis at 20%. Of course, that is not even half Trump's total right now. Everyone else in the single digits, that includes our ABC News contributor Chris Christie, who's considering a run of his own, he's at 1% in this poll. And when we ask people to focus in on the top candidates, to choose just among the top contenders, you actually see Trump's number go up a little bit. Ron DeSantis does as well, but still, he's nowhere near where Donald Trump is across the country. The other candidates, again, still in the mid or low single digits. And this is interesting because despite the strength that we're seeing for Donald Trump right now, a strong majority of Americans think he should be facing criminal charges across a range of investigations, including on this one, 56% say that he should face charges over his attempts to overturn the 2020 election. What's interesting to me about this, George, is that even among that 56%, the people that think that, yes, Trump should face criminal charges, 18% say they would vote for Donald Trump over Joe Biden anyway. That tells you a lot about Trump's potential strength, but maybe more than that, some of Biden's weaknesses. And that question of age that you mentioned earlier that Joe Biden has been trying to address. Donald Trump is less than 4 years younger than Joe Biden, but the concerns over Biden's age are much more significant. 68% of voters say they think that Joe Biden is too old for an additional term. Only 44% say the same about Donald Trump.
Rick, I got to admit, I have a hard time wrapping my head around that. You've got 1 in 5 people who say they believe President Trump should face criminal charges, but they still vote for him.
It is remarkable, and I do think once there's a matchup with an actual person, maybe that changes, but that just tells you about how much Trump is kind of baked into the political equation.
Boy, there's one thing that Donald Trump said early on in the campaign, and it just has stuck in my head the whole time. When Donald Trump said he could walk out on Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody in the head and still get elected, and while he's not being accused of anything that terrible— even, you know, facing potential criminal charges and with an indictment, twice impeached, and all the other baggage that comes with Donald Trump, people sure do seem to still love him. There is no two ways about that. You can share your thoughts right now at 844-580-WDBO. It's 844-580-9326. Or use the open mic in the WDBO app. If you're just joining us, we've been talking about a variety of things here tonight. We were talking about the woman who is filing the lawsuit against Subway about the tuna sandwiches. She wants to drop the suit because she's pregnant. She wants to focus on having a baby rather than claiming that Subway doesn't actually use tuna in their sandwiches.
I don't know how they do things now, but I worked at Subway several years ago, and they absolutely did use tuna in their subs. It was actually star-kissed tuna. So you can go back to eating your tuna sandwiches and feel safe about it.
That sounds good. But of course, Laurel, that reminds me of the incident that happened with the tuna canning place. Was that Starkist or was that which one is the little fish mascot?
That's Starkist.
That's Starkist?
Yeah. And I
think it was Starkist, wasn't it?
I think it was Starkist.
So there was an incident a few years ago in California where Laurel's already shaking her head. No, don't repeat the story. It's terrible. It is terrible. It is. So I'm trying. I shouldn't smile. I like to smile when I'm on the radio. Let me hang on. Okay, there we go. I'm not smiling now. A few years ago, there was a dude who was sent into one of the steaming devices at the Starkist tuna plant in California. And unbeknownst to someone else, someone closed the door on the steaming device and turned it on with a dude in the tuna steamer. So his body was cooked like the tuna would be in the steam. They didn't can him or anything like that. I mean, it didn't go that far, fortunately. I think they canned, as in fired, the other people, but the tuna company lost a lot of money in a lawsuit from that one. Oddly, we're also talking about circumcision tonight. We've really got a wide range of topics here tonight. We bring up circumcision because the Governor DeSantis now says that with this new bill here in Florida, outlaws doctors from cutting off healthy body parts of children. So I just wondered out loud, does that include circumcision? Because in circumcision, you're cutting off an otherwise healthy part of a human body.
Joe Kelly, circumcision is not the removal of a body part. A circumcision is the removal of a piece of skin that can prevent infections.
I'm sorry. Are you woman-splaining to me what circumcision is? You're assuming that I don't know? I'm a man. I know what circumcision is. I'm well aware. Thank you.
You got a couple things for me to talk about here, Joe.
All right.
First, I have to say I love your show.
Thank you.
I love that you're on 2 hours. Love ya.
Second,
14, 15-year-old cannot make those kind of decisions. Our brain's not even formed till we're 25. They need to be at least 18, and I would say even older, to make a decision like that. And Subway tuna sandwiches rock.
Woo! Yeah, I'm with you on that one. They absolutely do. They do rock. Yeah, if we won't let teenagers in Florida get a tattoo, what is the minimum law for getting a tattoo, Laurel? You're our chief tattoo correspondent. Isn't it 18 to get a tattoo?
It is 18, yes.
Yeah, if getting a tattoo is too intrusive, too much, too permanent for a child to get, then wouldn't cutting off their body parts also be too permanent?
Great job, Ronnie D. These Democrat doctors that are mutilating these kids are no different than the Nazis that were experimenting on Jews back in World War II. Lock them all up. Good job, Ron.
Ron, of course, referring to our governor. I'm always uncomfortable comparing things to Nazis and Hitler. That always makes me uncomfortable. I don't know that doctors are experimenting quite the way that Nazis did. So I that always strikes me as a bit extreme.
In my personal opinion, I don't think any parent or physician should be allowed to medically mutilate a child. It is not healthcare, it is mutilation. And if you are perfectly healthy, you should leave your body intact the way it was meant to be.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, I agree with that. I think a lot of people do. I've heard those talking points multiple times. You can join the discussion at 844-580-WDBO. It's 844-580-9326. You can use the open mic and the WDBO app. Don't forget your next chance to win $1,000 in the WDBO payroll payout is coming up tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. on Orlando's Morning News with Scott Inez. You don't want to miss that out tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. And you absolutely must download the WDBO app for your chance to win. If you've not played yet, you still have plenty of opportunities to play. and plenty of chances to win. But you must download the WDBO app first. You can download it from your Google Play Store. You can download it from the App Store. It's a completely free app. You're going to find a button in the app on the main page that says payroll payout. And then when we give the key word, like at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, you just type that. You go to that page where it says payroll payout and type in what the keyword is, and boom, you're entered to win $1,000. It is that simple. So check it out today. 844-580-WDBO or use the open mic in the WDBO app. Hey, do you remember last week, Laurel? I know you remember last week, right? And Paul, you remember last week?
Vaguely.
I'll do the vaguely.
Do you remember last week when some guy left an open mic and we could hear the water sprinklers in the background?
Yeah.
He left another open mic. Take a listen.
That's awesome.
Isn't that great?
Oh, nice.
I love that. All right, we've got a lot of topics going here tonight, not the least of which we're talking about the writer's strike that's going on.
Hey, Joe, so I wanted to tell you, my brother's a writer, and he writes for NCIS. And I can tell you, he makes a lot of money per week. In terms of the comedian writers, I don't know, maybe they do only make $80,000, but I can tell you he makes way more than that. So it'd be interesting to know what writers make.
Anyway. Yeah, I had a friend who was a contract writer for Jay Leno back in the day, and he was a contract, not a staff writer, so he got paid per joke that he wrote, and he would submit jokes, and I just as a contract writer, he did not get paid a whole lot of money. We're also talking about genital mutilation. God, what a weird topic to be talking about, and what a weird segue to go from the sprinkler head guy to genital mutilation. But I just love the way that the governor now puts this, saying that it is against the law in the state of Florida to cut off healthy body parts from children. Now, my only question about it was circumcision, as to whether or not circumcision would fall into that category. I can't think of a comparable procedure for young girls, right? It's just young boys that are subject to this. So young boys and circumcision.
Hey, Joe, the circumcision thing, you know, I don't think it's gender mutilation.
Genital.
I think it's more of a hygiene thing. But I know people are not, men are not uncircumcised and they're fine. But there is also religion involved with it. But,
true.
You know, I don't think it's gender mutilation.
It is remarkable how many times the word circumcision appears in the Bible. It is. In fact, I've been stunned at times reading the Bible to see how much it focuses or certain chapters, certain books focus on circumcision. But it certainly does happen there from time to time. The Texas shooter. So over the weekend, a shooter at a mall in Plano, Texas. I've been to that shopping center in Plano, Texas. It's just north of Dallas. And the suspect, 33-year-old Mauricio Garcia. Have we learned whether or not both suspects in the Texas incidents, the shooting and the driving the vehicle over some undocumented immigrants, have we learned whether or not the suspects are actual American citizens? I think it is going to be likely that they may not be. And regrettably, the media is not going to report whether or not they're here legally or illegally. But it would be interesting if Mauricio Garcia, who's dead, by the way, he was shot dead by a lone cop that confronted him at the mall before the rest of the cops showed up. He served in the military for a brief period. He was expelled for mental health reasons. He had been terminated, if you will, from the Army. He went into the regular Army in June 08, terminated 3 months later without completing initial entry training. So that means he washed out before he finished boot camp. He was not awarded a military occupation specialty or MOS, so he wasn't assigned any kind of an occupation, which is usually the first thing that happens after boot camp. He had no deployments, no awards, but the man was kicked out of the military It's not clear if it was honorable, dishonorable, or something else. But he was expelled for mental health reasons. Should never have had that gun. It's terrible. Absolutely terrible. 844-580-WDBO or hit me up in the open mic in the WDBO app. 844-580-WDBO. Let's go to Mark in Orlando. You're on WDBO. Hi, Mark.
I didn't think I'd be on this quick, but just real quick, the writer's strike. I have a daughter in the industry out in L.A., and it goes beyond the writers. It really it's dealing with more of the streaming adjustment and the
sure.
A lot of the corporations have relegated it to new technology, even though it's been around for like 10 or 15 years.
Yeah,
and as such, they're paying a lot of the specialties, including the actors and the writers and the all the background folks, according to new technology standards, which essentially saves them a ton of money.
Yeah, Mark, I don't think I think people are pretty sympathetic with the writers, because you're absolutely right. All these networks and movie studios have opened up all these other platforms for them to make money off of their television shows and movies, but the writers have not been compensated for the extra revenue streams that have been developing through these motion picture companies. So I hope that you said it was your daughter. I hope they're able to get what they want.
Yeah, the writers, she's not a writer exactly, but the writers are the lead right now, because it's the whole industry that's got an issue on the working side.
Yeah.
The actors, the directors, the producers.
Yeah, I think I lost you there, Mark. But yeah, I totally, absolutely understand. I know what you're talking about there, and I do hope that the writers and the rest of them get what they earn, get what they deserve, get a pay increase that is relative to how much the motion picture companies are making these days.
For the general mutilation, can we link it maybe to the circumcision part? To like maybe like a haircut, because you're cutting off healthy hair potentially, and you know you're just you can take it from
there. Yeah, thanks for not further explaining that. I don't know, cutting your hair versus cutting off a part of your penis. That doesn't seem the same to me. That seems different. And by the way, I'm not arguing against circumcision. I'm simply pondering that by the definition of what the governor has said, which I love, I love the way it's being phrased now. It makes so much more sense to say that that the bill outlaws doctors from cutting off healthy body parts of children. I think that's a great way to make it relatable to everyday people. Why would you cut off healthy body parts from children? And I simply pondered as to whether or not circumcision would fall into that category. And it's not been in any of the articles that I have read about it, so I just don't know. So do you know the women's apparel brand Anthropology? Laurel, are you aware of that brand? Am I saying it right? Anthropology?
Yeah, you're saying it right. I know of it. I don't have anything from there, but I know of it.
So I guess it's a women's clothing brand. They've got mall stores and stuff like that. Well, they have launched an ad campaign of a male model dancing around in various dresses and other articles of clothing that are explicitly meant for women. And would you believe that people are pissed off about this? And it's not conservatives who are leading the anger train here. It's women. Women are angry. According to EV Magazine, Anthropology responded to overwhelmingly negative backlash by disabling and deleting all the comments on the post from Anthropology on their social media post. I think it was an Instagram post. So they obviously would not delete and disable glowing comments. So it stands to reason that the backlash on their Instagram account caused them to disable the comments. So now women are commenting on other Anthropology Instagram posts to let them know they're not interested in seeing dudes in dresses. what kind of company would think, let's put a dude in a dress, that's our market audience? I just really think that a lot of these companies misunderstand the marketplace. They don't understand their own audience. They don't understand their own market. And another perfect example, to go back to Bud Light. I try very hard to not engage in Schadenfreude. You guys know what Schadenfreude is. It's a German word, taking pleasure in other people's pain. So I've tried to not revel in Bud Light making such a catastrophic mistake as they did with the TikTok trans star Dylan Mulvaney. But Bud Light, I can't help but to laugh. Bud Light is digging their hole even deeper. Bud Light, they're nowhere near getting out of the hole because they're still digging the hole. Bud Light is facing boycotts from both sides of the political spectrum after teaming up with trans influencer Dylan Mulvaney. So conservative beer drinkers blasted Bud Light for partnering with Mulvaney, celebrating her 365 days of girlhood. Now, gay bars in Illinois are boycotting Bud Light for not supporting Mulvaney enough. Oh my gosh, Bud Light cannot win in this situation. They have dug their holes so deep, they can't even find the shovel anymore. Following the backlash to the transgender partnership, Bud Light's CEO, Brendan Whitworth, issued a milquetoast statement saying, "We never intended to be part of a discussion that divides people. We're in the business of bringing people together over a beer. My time serving this country taught me the importance of accountability and the values upon which America was founded: freedom, hard work, and respect for one another." So that non-apology was not enough for conservatives, but it was too much for the LGBTQ community. So the Two Beers Tavern Group, which owns four LGBTQIA plus establishments in Chicago, declared on Friday that they're discontinuing all Anheuser-Busch InBev products as a result of the brewer's now anti-transgender actions and statements. They absolutely cannot win now. Budweiser, Anheuser-Busch, they've infuriated the right. They have infuriated the left. They have infuriated women. They have infuriated the LGBTQ community. Honestly, at this point, they ought to just shut down Bud Light, relabel it something new, call it something all new, put it in a new can with a new name, and nobody will know the difference. Bud Light, at this point, seems like they're toast. What do you think? 844-580-WDBO. It's 844-580-9326. Or use the open mic in the WDBO app. We'll continue next. I know there's only like 10 people in the chat right now, but y'all are missing a show on the WDBO Facebook page. We do a really different show during the commercial breaks than we do when we're on the air, and things get a little saucy. We don't have the FCC regulations in the chat that we do when we're on the air. Hey, guy, do you guys remember Friday? I love asking those questions. Do you guys remember Friday? Right? You do, right? So do you remember Friday? We were talking about eating bugs and how people are trying to, all the ne'er-do-wells, all the do-gooders are saying we should have more bugs in our diet, more bugs, as if we're eating bugs currently. Any bugs that we're eating now is purely accidental and not deliberate. Well, Friday, as we were on the air, I went ahead and ordered some bugs. I ordered some bugs. And I honestly read the reviews. I read the Amazon reviews on the bugs. And I was going to order the tarantula, the edible tarantula. But it was literally one tarantula per bag. And it was $24 for one tarantula. And I thought, I'm not spending $20. And then someone said that it still had the fangs on the front of it. And I'm like, I am not eating something that has tarantula fangs on it. And then someone wrote that because they have hairy legs, because they're hairy, that you can it's like eating hair. You're tasting hair, which that to me, I'm like, okay, that's gross. We're done. We're done here. That's disgusting. I don't want to eat a bug, A, and I certainly don't want to eat a hairy bug. So I did not order the tarantulas, but I did order a bag of June bugs. Ready to eat June beetles seasoned with salt. No artificial colors or preservatives. Boiled and dehydrated, not fried. No MSG. The ingredients are June bugs and salt. That's it. June bugs and salt. Allergy advice, crustaceans. If you're allergic to crustaceans, you probably won't do well with June bugs. So at some point, and we're thinking Friday, we're all going to get into the same studio and eat out of the bag of June bugs. Laurel, what? What are you saying?
No, no.
Paul, you're...
Thank goodness I'm at home.
You're down for this, aren't you, Paul?
Oh, heck no.
Really?
No, I'm not going to eat anything. What? You, two ingredients, salt and June bugs?
Yes. That's it. You like salt, don't you?
Yeah, well, there's another part of that, Randy, that I don't really care for.
Randy, are you down? Are you going to be eating June bugs with us?
No.
With us.
I can eat shellfish, so I'm going to use that as an excuse.
Oh, hang on.
Me too. I'm also incredibly...
Yep, can't eat shellfish. That's it. Done.
All of you guys just developed shellfish allergies?
It's brand new.
Absolutely. I'll even get a doctor's note now. I'll pay my doctor to give me that note.
This is crazy. I cannot... I'm mortified. Well, I'll be eating them by myself unless I, too, suddenly develop a shellfish allergy. But hang on, we'll open up these June bags live on the radio. June bug bag live on the radio next week or later this week. My name is Joe Kelly. Coming up next, it's Fox. Nope. Coming up next, it's the third hour of the Sean Hannity Show. That's next here on WDBO.
Now, WDBO 107.3 FM and AM 580. Triple team traffic.
Got a new crash there on Colonial at Econ Trail, and they're still working that, so watch for first responders there. Also a crash 434 eastbound at 1792 with the right turn lane blocked, and still monitoring that wreck that we have on the right shoulder and part of that right lane. This is involving a box truck. It's on the 528 westbound ramp to McCoy Road. ProTech Air Conditioning and Plumbing Service for honesty, integrity, and 100% customer satisfaction. Call ProTech 407-291-1644 or visit ProTechAC.com. From the WDBO Triple Team Traffic Center, I'm Paul Cross.
WDBO Orlando, WOEX FM HD2 Orlando, W297BB Orlando. Powered by Talon Wealth Management. Visit GuardingYourNestEgg.com. Listen everywhere at WDBO.com, a Cox Media Group station.
If you own a small to medium-sized business that kept employees on payroll through COVID, you may have a big cash refund waiting for you. The Employee Retention Credit is a tax credit of up to $26,000 per employee. And now, more businesses than ever qualify. The experts at RefundsPro.com specialize in cutting through the red tape of qualifying for this government program. Most of their refunds are over $100,000. Even businesses that have received PPP funds may be eligible. And there are absolutely no fees unless you receive a refund, so there's no reason not to apply. If your business experienced shutdowns, limited capacity, supply chain challenges, or reduced revenue due to COVID, you likely qualify. RefundsPro.com has already helped hundreds of businesses, so don't lose the refund you're owed by missing the deadline. Get started today with a free 5-minute questionnaire at RefundsPro.com. That's Refunds with an S, Pro.com.
Hey, Scott Inez back. You know, my wife is on the executive team there at Certified Financial Group and told me the big news that I want to share with you. Certified Financial Group has been named to the CNBC Top 100 Financial Advisor Firms in the country. That's top 100 out of nearly 40,000 firms nationwide. Very impressive, but it doesn't surprise me because Certified Financial Group is certified for fiduciary excellence by CFEX. That's a distinction held by fewer than 1% of the advisory firms in the country. country. You know, a lot of folks like to throw around the F word these days, but as fiduciaries, these 16 CFP professionals put your interests first. Are you ready to seek professional help for investment management or financial planning? Certified Financial Group in Altamont Springs and Windermere is here for you. Go to financialgroup.com. Certified Financial Group, where they're planning tomorrow, today.
Investment management and financial planning for a fee through Certified Advisory Corp, a registered investment advisor. Scott Inez was paid for this, and that's the truth.
Back from my friends at S&W Kitchens. Folks, now is as good a time as any to get that remodel done at your home with S&W Kitchens. I have Bill Burke from S&W here in the studio with me. And Billy, talk to me about financing, because you have some great flexible financing available right now.
We do, Scotty, and the process is super easy. It's about a 3-minute application process that you do online. There's no income verification, and about a 3-second approval process. So a lot of people use the financing to kind of get a jump start on a project that maybe they were going to put off until they got a budget or they have money coming. But let's get a head start on that project, get it going sometime over the summer for you with this easy, quick financing program with approved credit, of course.
Wait, Billy, did you say 3 seconds?
That's right, Scotty. 3 seconds is all it takes.
Call S&W Kitchens, 407-965-1120. It's S, the word, and wkitchens.com. Coast to coast, Ocala to Okeechobee, S&W Kitchens.
Are you looking for a weight loss program that really works? Burn Fat Orlando. Orlando has helped thousands of people, and they guarantee you'll lose the weight or your money back. Listen to what Berna had to say about her experience with the program.
I've lost 230 pounds total, and now I've learned